Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:12 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is September 29th, and I thought we'd kick off with the total assets of central banks because this is, and I thought we'd also show it on a log scale because I think it's more appropriate to show that it's the accelerations in the size of balance sheets have generally coincided with the big moves in the stock market. So, for example, we can see that from about 2011 on to about 2013, we had a significant moderation in the supply of money that was coming in from central banks, and stock markets went through a rather difficult period. As it started to ramp up again, the markets broke out. We saw a lot of those very long-term ranges and base formations completed back in 2013. That was right around the time that my book Crowd Money came out. In fact, we came up with the whole idea for the autonomies around the same time, really starting in 11 and 12, as we noticed so many of these base formations. And then it was looking increasingly obvious that those were going to be completed. Then we can also think about the period of quantitative tightening around 2018 and 19. And the central bank supply, in fact, contracted during that time, and it contributed to some significant volatility. So now we're at another juncture here. We've had a big explosion in the quantity of money, and the total supply from central banks has more than doubled in the space of a year. And the pace of the advance is moderating. It's still going up, but it isn't going up as quickly as before. So the big questions then are, is the Federal Reserve really serious about withdrawing liquidity, starting to raise interest rates, and engaging in quantitative tightening overall? And then what's going to happen in terms of China's activity? So China, at least, we have a partial answer to that question, because it looks increasingly likely that the credit impulse is troughing. So we have these approximately 36-month cycles in China. Now, it's also worth considering that the credit impulse has been contracting in terms of its ferocity over the course of the last decade. So we're at the trough right now. It doesn't mean that we're going to go back to the highs that we saw in 2008, but at least China is likely to be adding more money than taking it away for the foreseeable future. And that's important because the Federal Reserve is talking about reducing the amount of money that it is pumping into the system. But we can also then think about, why would the Fed make that decision? And at least part of that decision might be tied to the fact that they believe that the government was going to go off and borrow a whole pile of money and spend it. So it's looking increasingly uncertain as to whether even the infrastructure bill is going to make it through the House in the USA. As little as a few weeks ago, it was looking likely that that infrastructure bill would certainly be passed, and that there was a solid chance that some kind of additional stimulus package in multiple trillions would also be passed. And right now, they're both sort of held up by voting procedures. So if the government isn't then going to go off and raise taxes a lot and spend a lot of money, then will the Federal Reserve feel the need to have to withdraw liquidity? In fact, they may be prompted to put more liquidity into the market. So it's certainly worth considering what's going on here. And when we think about the performance of the stock market, well, we're still in a corrective phase overall, and we had a somewhat steadier environment in here today, but we continue to see selling pressure in the semiconductors sector. So it was in negative territory today. But I think that it is particularly relevant not simply to look at the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index, where we certainly have a developing wedging type of activity. We still have the sequence of higher low highs and higher lows, but This is increasingly looking like a wedging pattern, which it doesn't always result in a significant pullback and a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, but it's certainly something that we need to be aware of because when we have this succession of higher reaction lows and yet the price isn't going anywhere, well, then people do tend to raise stops behind it. And we can think about some of the really big companies like Taiwan Semiconductor, where it really hasn't gone anywhere this year and it's now right back on the lower side of its range. And then Samsung Electronics has also lost momentum and was in negative territory in here today as well, and now encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean. Micron Technologies, which has historically been considered one of the most one of the most cyclical sectors in memory, then was also in negative territory today and continues to hold the sequence of lower rally highs and remains below the trend mean. The company has been adamant that they're now in many more business sectors and that they're not susceptible to the same kind of boom and bust cycles as they have been in the past, but certainly, they also have to prove that, and there's the potential that sales will tail off over the next 6 months before ramping up again at some point in 2022. But perhaps investors want to see proof of that before giving the company the benefit of the doubt. I'm paying particular attention right now to the Fangman shares because the market cap of this seven companies was as much as 10 trillion just last week. It's down to 9.7 trillion, and unwinding this short-term overbought condition. But what I find really rather relevant is the relative comparison of this index, because when we look at the market cap of those seven companies and compare it to the total market cap of the NYSE, it got up to a peak in the middle of last year, really, I guess, the third quarter of last year, and now it's coming back down. So it was at 20% of the market last week, and it's at 18.9 today, but a lot of that decline happened in the last 24 hours. So that was a big pullback for the Fangman shares yesterday, and they were a little steadier in here today. Quite whether it can hold the region of the trend mean remains to be seen, but when seven shares represent almost 20% of the wider market, how they perform is likely to have a significant knock-on effect. And we can also then think about the fact that the advanced decline line for the Nasdaq, and this is of course not the Nasdaq 100, but the total Nasdaq, is now below its trend mean. So the average Nasdaq share has been declining over the course of the last 7 or 8 months, and now we're starting to see the larger caps also starting to roll over. So it's certainly something that we need to pay attention to, that the technology sector is not nearly as popular right now as it has been in the past, and a good part of the reason for that is because the 5-year yield is continuing to hold the 1% level. And it wasn't we didn't have a sufficiently large rally in the price today to bring it back down below that 1% area. So this is certainly problematic because it's going to directly increase the cost of servicing the debt for the US government. And unlike other governments, the US debt has got a short duration. We can compare the 5-year duration of US debt to 14 years for the UK. So the UK has a lot more room to wiggle in terms of its financing costs and refinancing pressures than the USA does. And the prospect of an inability to raise taxes and additional spending measures and the continued drag from the pandemic, these are all putting upward pressure on bond yields right now, because Investors are beginning to worry about inflationary pressures. And before we think about those inflationary pressures, it's also worth looking at some of the sectors that do particularly badly when interest rates begin to rise. Well, there are two factors currently affecting the solar sector. The first is that power cuts in China are knocking out production of silicon. So then that's having a knock-on effect for the ability of solar manufacturers or panel manufacturers to keep up with orders. But then there's also the solar installers and the fact that they tend to be very capital intense because they have to pay up front for the panels and then they recoup their investment over time. And in between that, well, then their business models are very interest rate sensitive. So as interest rates rise, it puts them under pressure. So the solar ETF is now back below the $80 level, right at the lower side of its range, and it needs to bounce and do so in an emphatic fashion in order to question potential for additional downside. But the problem for the precious metals is that silver is also a major component of solar cells. So with solar panel makers under pressure, then that's also putting pressure on silver, and it dropped below the $22 level today. So it's at a new reaction low and coming down out of this range that's been forming for most of the last year and increasing the potential that it's going to come back down and test the $20 area. By contrast, gold prices were also negative, but not in as nearly a dynamic a manner or as dynamic a manner as we saw with silver. But nonetheless, the $1,700 area will certainly have to continue to hold if we're to continue to give the benefit of the doubt to support building in this area. Oil prices, having gone up to test the $80 area in the last couple of days, continue to pause here. And it doesn't look like anything other than a pause. There's still the potential for significant additional upside in here. There are lots of orders in for new ships, but it takes a while to build them. And until those ships are built, well, then the Baltic Dry Index can continue to rally from here. So we continue to have supply disruptions. The issues with electricity in China are certainly having an impact. The issues with natural gas prices in Europe are still front and center. And natural gas was in additional positive territory in here today. So it was not able to hold the advance yesterday. And it was going to be make or break whether it was going to pull back into the underlying range today. But with so much buying on the spot market for LNG cargoes from China because of their efforts to curtail coal power generation, well, then that's putting upward pressure on natural gas prices in Europe. So there is still potential for additional headaches here, and more power providers went bust in the UK today. So this is obviously a problem that hasn't quite gone away yet, even if the supply of gasoline is likely to improve in the UK, natural gas prices are still a significant pressure. Well, from a consumer's perspective, if solar panels start to and of course, if solar panels are fewer of them are produced, then the price is likely to go up. But demand is likely to increase as well because people will want to insulate themselves from uncertainty. And certainly, if we continue to see uncertainty with electricity provision, then basically homesteading and going it alone is also likely to become progressively more popular. I've certainly been looking at the potential to go solar. Just because of the, I guess the whole reason that anyone is thinking about it is because it's being so heavily advertised around where I live that you want to have your solar in place before the winter comes because everybody knows what happened last year. And These are also factors that households are looking to insulate themselves. And they're also seeing that inflationary pressures are popping up in lots of different sectors. So it's not just energy or indeed in the electricity prices, but then it's also in just consumer goods. So we can see that Dollar Tree announced today their buyback, and the share bounced emphatically as a result of that. It's been extraordinarily volatile over the last 3 years. But what I thought was more important is that they're going to start passing through price increases. Now, that's difficult to do for a dollar store. So they're going to pass through price increases for all their dollar plus stores. And eventually, all dollar stores will become dollar plus stores so that they'll be able to charge more for their items. And that's a clear sign of inflationary pressures, regardless of how one rationalizes it, whether the eventually the shipping costs will contract because there will be more ships, or whether we're going to see some of the supply bottlenecks starting to unwind. It's extremely unlikely that prices are ever going to come back down again, and that's just going to put upward pressure on wages. So we're in this environment where upward pressure on yields increases the potential for stagflation. And we're seeing that bonds and equities are have I guess the number of days on which both bonds and equities have sold off simultaneously has increased substantially over the course of the last year. And we saw another example of that yesterday. So then the question is, how does one hedge against that? Well, the dollar is breaking out. So any outlook that was looking like this was a completed top formation is certainly now deeply in doubt. And I look increasingly wrong in my prognostication that the dollar was going to break below 90. So it's looking increasingly likely that investors are looking at the US dollar as a safe haven. And they're not willing to put their money into bonds because of the upward pressure on yields. And when they want to sell stocks, they're simply raising cash. And that's not very comforting from the perspective of other investors, because mostly people have become accustomed to the fact that your bond position in your portfolio would insulate you from weakness in the equity portion of the portfolio. But when there's an increasing likelihood that they'll both fall at the same time, well, then that's going to play havoc with the 60-40 portfolio. And that's the majority of portfolios that have been structured from the perspective of retail investors in particular, but lots of other institutions as well. So that's creating upward pressure for just pure cash. And the pound is being increasingly being classed as an emerging market currency, and it was down another cent in here today. So clearly now confirming resistance in the region of the upper side of the base formation and starting to come back down. So this is I think exhibiting doubts about the sustainability or the effectiveness, I think, is probably the more appropriate word of the UK administration in dealing with myriad numbers of challenges that seem to be cropping up with alarming regularity over the course of this pandemic. So we're certainly in a more risk-offish kind of environment. But what's, I think, relevant is that China is beginning to steady, and the H-share index was in positive territory in here today and firming from the 8,500 level. Now, of course, China, the mainland market at least, is going to be closed all of next week. So we're probably getting at least some positioning and some announcements of additional liquidity getting posted this week in advance of being closed for all of next week. But we're also seeing evidence that some of China Evergrande's bonds are being bought and some of their assets are being bought by state-owned enterprises. So it's looking likely that China is going to make additional efforts to curtail the potential for additional contagion, and that's likely to be a positive overall, and that we are at the bottom of the credit cycle in China. And we're also at the bottom of the credit cycle, or I think more accurately, we're in a new credit cycle for India. Now, India is still somewhat overbought in the short term, so and it does indubitably have occasional significant pullbacks, which can be viewed as buying opportunities, but it's still reasonably steady and still has a sequence of higher reaction lows. And until that's broken, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. When we then think about the wider commodity complex, the copper price remains really reasonably firm, and it bounced emphatically from the $4 area last week. We're still in negative territory today, but it would need to sustain a move below the $4 area in order to question that this isn't just a big consolidation in the region of the upper side of the long-term range. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.